What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Textual Talk. I'm your host, HD. We got a lovely guest with us today, Mary A. You guys may know her as the mogul behind My Tech Best Friend. And we here to really get it in. Y'all like how I did that, didn't y'all? But y'all know what to do. If you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Like it. All notifications, hit all. Share it out to your friends. It's going to be a good one. I'm going to put y'all on some game. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, to do the same thing. Subscribe and share it out. But without further ado, let's bring our guest in. What's going on, Miss Mary? Appreciate you for gracing us on a Textual Talk podcast where we talk about tech, whether any type of route it could be, and especially representation of our Black faces as well. And, you know, we all know you're a hot topic, like that store that used to be in the mall. So
what store that
we definitely going to Hot Topic. Wow.
That's funny.
Hold on, let me hit the... I needed that for that one. But anyway, so can you go ahead and give like a brief bio about yourself for our listeners if they never heard of
you? Sure. So my name is Mary. I'm the creator and CEO of My Tech Best Friend. My Tech Best Friend is an educational-based platform. So we are an academy. We run different courses all the way from non-technical to technical across various softwares and areas of tech. Been around for a little bit over a year. We are about 122 people into jobs within that time frame. So that's pretty much it about me and My Tech Best Friend.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So we could probably say, like, I think this whole pandemic and everything has led to what they've been calling it, the Great Resignation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that is leading.
We're going to say the rise of remote work. I don't know. A lot of topics, tech influencers, which I despise the word. Everything. So what I'll do is I'll say, what made you want to start, you know, My Tech Best Friend?
Honestly, the funny thing is I actually didn't want to start it before. I never even thought to start it. I really was just kind of, you know, helping friends for free, being purely advisory. I never thought to make it into a business or anything like that. Never imagined myself on the entrepreneurship wave. I always said the entrepreneurship wasn't for me. And then, a friend of mine was just like, you need to start it. And I took her advice. I was like, I don't know. And then I just kind of did it as, okay, this is going to be something on the side that I do, something extra. And then it turned into something big. So, you know, here we are.
Nah, big is an understatement for you. Like, I mean, you know, me and you talked like all the time before, and we're talking about like advertising the ads. Like, to my knowledge, she's never ran an ad. You've never seen, you know, want to get into tech, join My Tech Best Friend. Yeah. Like, everything is word of mouth. And, you know, she's a machine.
honestly.
You know, often imitated, never duplicated. Mm-hmm. I would say that about her just because what she's able to do from platform to platform is really unheard of.
Platform to platform.
No, seriously. I mean, it is like, you know, I mean, it's the, you know, what Drake say, I'm right enough. They just mad. I got the Midas touch. I think they just mad. You got the Midas touch. Like,
Midas touch. That's funny.
I mean, everything you do, I'm like, y'all, she only got like two videos on TikTok. They want her to make TikTok videos so bad.
Yeah.
I want her to be on YouTube so bad.
I'm just not a video recording kind of person. I don't know. Like, I try TikTok. TikTok is cool. But, I mean, maybe I'll get on it a little bit later on. But it's just not interesting to me, I guess, to really, I don't know. You know, we all have our, like, platforms of choice that we thrive in. I'm pretty sure I could make it a thing. But I'm just not that consistent in it. Maybe just because TikTok just wasn't really my platform to begin with. So it's just like, but at the same time, I did say that about Facebook and I'm on Facebook. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah. Some people tell me to make more TikToks and I really, I don't necessarily make TikToks. I just post the same type of snippets I do to other platforms, to TikTok. I'm not really, because then I have a business account too, so I can't even use a lot of the sounds and stuff that people use. Like, I had to go find them and clone them myself. I'm not clone them, but duet with them. But we do want you to do a YouTube, especially based on your stories. That would have probably been a good YouTube video today.
Yeah, possibly. I've seen the, you know, some of the tech videos on YouTube. I don't know. We'll see. I got to just kind of get out of that comfort zone and just like, okay, just do it. But I think that I'm just really comfortable right now. So.
Right. Yeah. I think if you had a person that was like following you around, like your assistant that was recording or some crap like that.
You mean like vlogging and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a vlogger. Well, actually, I don't know. Cause I kind of post my IG stories kind of vlog style. So I don't
know. That's what I said. I mean, you know, I think most of you are like, most women do, like, y'all are good at that. Like I'm horrible. I get agitated. But so we said we're close to really, yeah, like 2 years in. It's crazy. Cause it doesn't feel like me and you connected like the end part of 2020.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even feel like it's been almost like a 2 years. It doesn't feel like that.
It really doesn't. It's crazy how time flies, honestly. So,
but so let's get back down into my tech best friend. You know, for those of you that read my book, y'all know my bootcamp section, I have my tech best friend on there. So anything that I put my stamp on, I mean, it is legit.
Thank you.
So let's see. I'm trying to see how to kind of gauge some of these questions for you. Far as, I don't want to sound like no job interview, but like, what would be like an ideal client of yours, I guess? Like, you know, since I don't know if you really looked at like your analytics, far as like the people you've helped and far as who's did the best opposed to who probably took a little longer.
Yeah.
But if you have, do you know who possibly may be that ideal client?
I mean, honestly, there's really no ideal client. It's just more about, I mean, people come from different backgrounds and, you know, different interests and things like that. It's really just about, being prepared for the, you know, the time frame to which you're working with me, keeping motivated and not being quick to kind of switch up on your career paths because things are a little bit tougher. So personally, I don't really have an ideal person. Like, they're all across different ages, different backgrounds. It's really just a mindset thing that I would say. I've seen people do it as quick as 3 months. I've seen people do it as long as a year. So it highly depends. It depends on the pathway. It depends on the role. Depends on your background, you know, education, all that stuff. So, yeah.
Right. And that's what I would say, too, as being in somewhat of a similar branch of, you know, of what you do. Mm-hmm. I think that's the same thing. It's kind of like the people that normally put the hard work in and actually do kind of what you tell them to do tend to be the most successful with these things. And then the pushback people or the complainers tend not to get where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And then you also look at, well, this is why you're hiring me, and you kind of see why.
Right.
But you can't really tell them that because at the time it's kind of like,
No, I definitely tell them that, you know, like I let them know straight up, like, hey, like you are, I'm not saying like I'm the expert or anything, but you are working with me for a reason and you got to listen to me, you know, and sometimes I got to kind of put an iron fist, you know, like any of my students who work with me, super nice, you know, super motivational. But at the same time, I'm really within that time frame that people are enrolled. I'm really like a no nonsense kind of like I mean business kind of person. And that's usually why I feel like they are successful, to which it's like, OK, I'm lax. But at the same time, we have a timeline. We have a deadline. I do send those emails out if I feel like people are slacking. I'm like, hey, like you guys need to get maybe this specific certification within the next 3 weeks or else I'm going to kind of side eye you. So like I'm really, you know, yes, I'm super nice on the outside. But like when you're actually enrolled, I'm still nice, but I'm very like, I don't, after a certain time, like time frame, if I feel like people are prolonging things and, oh yeah, I'm not sure, or I'm going to stop searching, job searching for a few months and you can't come back to me towards the end of the year. That's not how it works. Like you gotta, when you have me. And after that, you know, you really don't, just because I'm really strict on that 6 to 8 month time frame. And I feel like that's where I see a lot of the successful students are within that time frame. The moment that things start to get a little bit past, I feel like you kind of lose them, you know? So, that's what I would say about that.
Yeah, I think I've only had like one person kind of like that. And I mean, their time's up. So I hadn't really asked them how the stuff was going, what they were doing.
I try to,
but I mean,
like I may send an email out, but in terms of me reaching out to you one-on-one, like, hey, what's up? Do you need help? Like, you know, what do you need? Like it usually cuts off at that, you know, 8 month time frame, because it's like, okay, like what are we doing here? You know, like what's going on? Right. So, but yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah. And only for me, I think like, well, most of the people are still in the Slack space. So I just let them stay in there. Mm-hmm. We talk and whatever. But, I know the hardest part sometimes for people is talking to them through like Slack or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you're saying one thing to me. And so I will come off like it's very straightforward and blunt. Mm-hmm. Like I'll talk. And because one person saying this thing to me, I was like, well, how much? Like one time they said, oh, you know what? Bump it. I'm tired of tech. I'm finna go. What did she say? I'm about to go start writing or something. I was like, what? Like, I was like, you ain't even listening to me. Like every time I ask you to do something, it's always mm-hmm. something else to do. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But I'm like,
that's when you got to stop responding. You know, like I usually won't respond. And then, you know, they'll reach out to me throughout other platforms. And I'm like, hey, like, you know, like I actually had one of my self-paced students, you know, she did my self-paced 6 month planner, and we had kind of like linked up within like our midpoint just to kind of check in and see. And, you know, we were like 4 months in, no certifications, you know, nothing was really worked on. It was kind of like at the very beginning. I told her straight up, like, you know, I'm not extending the time, you know, like we have this specific time frame. I know that, you know, life happens, but I'm not extending the time. The only thing I can do is that I can set up another touch point because they're only limited to one. I can set up a second touch point. And by this, like, you need to have, you know, these certifications. And we just kind of rerouted the path and shortened things a little bit. That's really the only thing I'm going to do. I'm going to shorten your path and maybe take off some things off the planner. But I'm not extending the time frame because I'm really strict on that. It's a 6 month planner for a reason. Oh my gosh. That's funny.
I had to give her some gunshots for that. Yeah, I mean, you know, all is fair. I mean, this thing is definitely some pretty interesting that could mm-hmm. get a little wonky sometimes. I really don't know how you do it. I plan to probably go to courses eventually once mm-hmm. I copyright everything.
Yeah.
Just kind of mm-hmm. minimize as much talking as I got to do, just because it's just time. It's very time consuming.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I don't think people realize that. So we'll segue into, let me see if I can do a little transition sound. We're going to get into what type of services My Tech Best Friend offers. Is anything a la carte, or is it like all or nothing?
Everything is all or nothing. I did start off a la carte, but I don't really, I don't have time to do that anymore. It's not because like I feel like I'm above anything, but it's just like I have a lot of people under me now, so it wouldn't make sense for me to start doing things a la carte. But you know, students that are enrolled in that all-in-one still get that kind of a la carte kind of service because we still have one-on-ones and things like that. So yeah, it's all in one. It's quarterly, and that's all it is.
Nice, nice. We'll get into, you know, I don't know. We'll get into this after this next question. Mm-hmm. And so after the a la carte thing, I mean, the a la carte, all or nothing, what right now as it stands, and granted, I know every boot camp isn't, you know, going on mm-hmm. at the same time congruently.
Yeah.
But what type of boot camps have been offered, and maybe if you want to drop some, you know, some secret knowledge on like what boot camps you might be working on,
yeah,
for the people.
I would say that I do a lot of non-technical kind of boot camps. The thing is, I've had experience across technical, non-technical, software specific, non-software specific, so that's why I'm kind of able to offer what I can offer, but everything that I offer is close to what I've already had experience in to kind of give the most, just the most value. So I do non-technical boot camps such as like business analysis, you know, Scrum related, project management kind of stuff. But I also do technical boot camps such as the systems administration side of things across various softwares like Salesforce, ServiceNow, and others. I would say that in terms of anything upcoming, I mean, my entire schedule bootcamp, like projected bootcamp schedule is on my website, but there are a few things that I feel like I'm going to throw in there. Like I would say that I am thinking about what I probably am going to do it, but I'm probably going to be doing like something as niche as like a privacy analyst for people who are trying to kind of combine data and security. It's combining data and security, and also for, you know, kind of catering more to certain backgrounds, like, you know, that would probably be perfect from somebody who comes from a legal background and things like that. So really just like really niching down a little bit more is what I'm trying to get on rather than just be general. That's really what I do and that's what I enjoy. So that's probably what I see. That's, you know, an interesting combination that will be coming that, you know, I haven't really talked about that much, but besides that, everything is already on my website. So, yep.
Yeah, man, the website's in the description. Mm-hmm. But let's just be slightly spicy. So, me and you on Land of Twitter, granted, I've kind of retracted a little bit of how much I'm on there. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Buffer. I use Buffer to send most of my tweets or mm-hmm. maybe get on my Android phone or do yeah. some crap, but mm-hmm. it's not on my everyday iPhone.
Right.
We always hear on Twitter mm-hmm. about prices.
Yeah.
And how, and I gotta say it every time we talk to us, mm-hmm. when we talk about this, I'm like, it's always us most of the time complaining about prices. Mm-hmm. When, if you go do a boot camp through a college or some individual thing, it's like five times what you charge.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is, I already know that whoever complains about a price isn't going to be my client anyway. So I guess I don't really care about that anymore as much as I used to, because at the end of the day, I still have a lot of people that register for it. So it's not really anything that I feel like I'm lacking. I just think that what you feel like is worth it for you, you'll pay for. And it really just kind of, I guess you can tell from a mentality perspective on how people think just by how they say it. You know, like for me, I'm going to pay for what I feel like could potentially change my life or make a huge significant difference, you know, especially if you're somebody who's struggling or you're tired of living a particular life, you know, you're willing to dedicate a specific amount of time. Like, you know, you're going to want to, when you're in that moment to which you are desperate, like you're gonna pay for it, basically. Like you're gonna do what it is that you need to do. So I feel like when people are just like, oh, it's too expensive, I don't want to say, I mean, you are right that it is kind of like a in our community thing, because I don't really see that anywhere else. I just feel like, I don't want to say like, you know, it's an entitlement kind of thing, but I think that naturally what I've seen just as African-Americans or Africans or things like that, we tend to want to get a lower price from our people. Just like, you know, sometimes when you go to the store, you're trying to strike up a deal. You're trying to, oh, you know, do this for me because, like, you know, we're Black or we're this, we're that. And I get it. But at the same time, it's not really the same with service-based things. It's not a product. It's an ongoing service. It's a one-on-one thing. Like this is you're going from zero to hero. So for me, I guess it is what it is. Like if it doesn't work for you, like because I do offer flexible payment options. We actually have scholarships now. So at this point, if you can't, there's really nothing I can do. There are other services out here and I, you know, wish them the best. So, yep.
Yeah, I think I forgot, but I got to start. I'm going to add Klarna and Afterpay mm-hmm. for options. You know, people want to pay in sections. Mm-hmm. But no, that's a good question. I mean, that's a good answer. I know I always say it's like, I've said plenty of times on Twitter, it's like, for me, and it's not for everybody, like, prime example, mm-hmm. I went to school and, well, really grad school is what cost the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't go to grad school and say, oh, y'all going to cut me a deal? You know, they mm-hmm. gave me whatever scholarship they had and boom, yeah. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I was like, now imagine if I try to charge you what I paid for grad school, you know, mm-hmm. that'd be insane.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've never really went anywhere and say, oh, you should pay me this guy. I know you. Like, matter of fact, people that I know personally, like, especially mm-hmm. like service based business, my barbers or yeah. whoever I know, mostly barbers, because I kind of know them now. I always give them a tip. I always pay them right. more mm-hmm. Because that's how they take care of their family. And
yeah.
what people don't tend to realize is that some people do this full time. So now you're talking about this and that. And granted, we all know, like, whoever going to rock with us, they're not going to ask you, hey, what you charge? They're going to go to the site and they're going to book anyway.
Yeah.
But for the most part, when you do all the other stuff and the extra is like, hey, fam, you didn't go to Mercedes and say, hey, they selling the Toyota Sequoia for $50,000. Why I can't get the G-Wagon for that price? Come on, fam. Mm-hmm. You know, if got too much dip on your ship, you know, go with, do what you can afford. Just like I buy what I can afford. I ain't going to complain about nothing. Exactly. So that's how we'll end it on that tip. Just because, I mean, we'll just do it like that. But with that being said, with you actually being priced, the word is unaffordable. Uh-huh. I want to say it's not even compete. I can't even think of the word. So I'll just say the way that you're, we're going to say you're attractively priced.
Yeah.
You've been able to help a lot of people in a short amount of time. And I don't really think, you know, that's really highlighted enough. Like you're the one, I mean, you're the one to highlight yourself when you let everybody know when they go on LinkedIn, hey, I helped X amount of people get jobs. And, you know, these aren't just, you know, any jobs. Some of these people have doubled, sometimes triple, you know, what they was making.
Yep.
You know, and of course we got the haters, you know I never thought I'd see the day I have, you know, I don't know. It's just LinkedIn. I don't know, man. The wrong people. They letting the wrong people on LinkedIn. They got to start doing something. It got to be like an exclusive club or something. Just because, like, you can't have nothing too professional now with everybody just being pessimistic and stuff. It's just crazy. But, you know, for the fact that you were able to help that many people over, we're going to say, 18 months, 16?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However long that is. Mm-hmm. Like, if you was even to divide that by the months, that's still a lot of people per month.
Yeah.
And you're probably on track to break that this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's honestly crazy. Like I said, I didn't think that, you know, I would be here. And I'm just like, wow, that's like a significant amount of people. I was able to do that on my own. So I'm really like excited to see what's gonna happen when I'm able to, like, you know, bring on a team, you know, which I'm kind of getting ready to do. So if I'm able to do this singularly, I could really only imagine what's going to happen with, like, you know, a whole machine behind me on different moving parts of people and support. So I'm trying to ramp that up. But I'm just like, and I think that one thing that to which really makes my tech best friend stand out is that I feel like we're probably the one bootcamp that I can see that the students are very out loud about what they're doing and they're very out loud about their progress. I don't really see that with a lot of different platforms, a lot of people, you know, like, out loud about their successes and things like that. So that's really what's, you know, attractive just based off of word of mouth for me, is because people are really, really supportive. And they're excited, you know, like when they're excited to learn, when they're actually seeing like, okay, this is a chance and it's, you know, within price range, like, wow, like I can really change my situation. Like people are gonna, they're gonna talk about it. So eventually, maybe I'll ramp up ads. I've been thinking about that, you know, how to do that. But,
well, you know, I can run some sponsored videos for you, you know, so you can get some deductions on them. High taxes, you know, next year. All that money my tech best friend making.
No comment. But, I mean, yeah, like I'm excited to see like what's going to happen. I'm trying to secure more partnerships, lots of meetings that are going to be happening. So I just, if you would have told me I would be here, like, a year ago, I'd been like, you're crazy. Like, absolutely. Like, what? No, absolutely not. So now that I'm here, it's my reality. And, you know, I just got to stick to it and keep pushing. So, yep.
Definitely. And I just realized you're the second person I had. Well, I had AJ towards the end of last year. So, but all in total, like, successful business that came out of like nowhere. I wouldn't say nowhere, because he probably was working on what they was working on for a while. But the fact, the way that you and him were able to do it, you utilize primarily like Twitter, I believe, and he primarily utilized LinkedIn. So it's just like the power of social media. And something else I wanted to commend you on, because I work with people that came from other boot camps.
Yeah.
And somebody just had some generic boot camps, but that didn't guide the people in the way that they need to go.
Right.
So I've had to work with people that don't really know what role they, oh, I took this boot camp, but I can't get hired. Or I can't get an interview.
It's a lot. It's a lot of people. And I'm trying to change. I'm really trying to change that. Like, I'm trying to change kind of like how people view boot camps, because I think that a lot of people view boot camps or like in kind of in a negative light just because of you know, the different boot camps are out here that, you know, maybe are taking advantage of people, or maybe they're just like, they're over promising and really under delivering. So like, I'm trying to change that to actually provide people with boot camps that are meant for them, that are catered to them. And they feel like, okay, wow, like this is actually for me. It's not just the, oh yeah, we're all in this, you know, we're all in a package. Like, no, this is meant for me. It's tailored to you, your personality, your background, everything. I really care about that because I feel like that's how people can, that's how companies will be able to retain people. Like, you actually knowing what it is that you desire to do, or you can stomach waking up doing it every morning. A lot of tech is, you know, right now everybody's trying to, it's a hot topic. Everybody's trying to switch over for the money primarily, which is cool. Like, you know, I mean, we need money, keeps the world going. Like, we need that. But I feel like we don't really focus on those roles that can really, you don't have to bounce around from job to job because you can actually do it. You actually enjoy doing it. Like, you can wake up and it, you know, it's fulfilling for you within your career. So that's what I'm trying to kind of bring back. Yes, there's money regardless, but let's try to find something that actually works for you specifically as a person internally. So, yeah.
Definitely. Ooh, somebody got a psych message. But no, and you're right. It's the fact that, like, in my book, I was telling people, like, hey, if you're going to think about a boot camp, do your research. Mm-hmm. Talk to people who did the boot camp and other things. Like, you know, there's no way possible I would pay. I'll put it like this. A lot of these boot camps are running like college. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they just say, oh, you got a computer science degree. You got a CIA, cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. But it don't guide you to certain roles most of the part. The curriculum is pretty much vague. Mm-hmm. And then really help you decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I have proof of this by reaching out to my college I did undergrad with and talking to the person that's over the CIS program who used to be one of our professors.
Yeah.
And verbatim, the program is pretty much the same, except I think they changed one of the program languages to Python. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking questions like, well, hey, dude, some of these courses come with certs. He's like, nope. And then I asked him, what I was like, I kind of stopped replying. I was like, this is stupid. This is why people aren't going to school no more. And they go on to more traditional colleges and they go on boot camps or places like WGU.
Yeah.
Because a WGU, just like a boot camp, is kind of structured based on what you possibly do in the role and the path you pick.
Yeah.
And that's what all these people are missing. So I think as long as you keep on doing that, you're going to be fine. I think the other people are going to crash and burn because I forgot what school that was. Whatever boot camp that had lied to people, somebody, hey, we're going to get you a job. And then they have to retract that and say, hey, this boot camp don't guarantee you a job.
Oh, wow. I don't honestly, like, if any boot camp, like, guarantees your job, it's definitely a red flag. Because to be honest, even if you do apprenticeship and trainings directly at companies themselves, like, say if you were to do a apprenticeship at, like, Amazon or something, they still can't guarantee you a job. So if the company itself can't guarantee you a job, other boot camps most likely will not be able to. So that's definitely, I get that all the time. People DM me like, do you guarantee a job? I'm like, I can't. Like, and if I promise you, if I'm telling you that, then you should, it's a huge red flag. Because how is that even possible? The only time I can guarantee a job is if I'm hiring you directly as a CEO within my company itself. So, and that's still unrealistic. So that's crazy.
Let me see. I'm going to put them on blast because I remember. matter of fact, I believe it's hang on, I'm reading right now. Okay, I believe it was Flatiron School. I believe, or because I'm looking at like one of the texts from one of my former clients, and he pretty much withdrew from it because it was like, oh, well, this certification and all this stuff ain't going to really boost much. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool, though. I think what you're doing is great. I think I've seen a lot of professionals actually support you and what you're doing on LinkedIn as well, which is bridging that gap.
Yeah.
You know, because I could also see it to be in the where, like, one of the issues I know from dealing with some people with, like, zero experience is the fact that I don't mind training you. However, if I have to spend all my time training you, then it does take away from me being useful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think things like what you got going and then maybe whatever you got in the works are potential things that can free up people from having to do that. By the time they already come in, they're kind of ready to hit the ground running. I know people hate that phrase when you see it on job descriptions. Technically, you should try to run when you see that, but all they mean, well, what I mean when I say this, like, you know, you know the basics. I'm not expecting you to be an expert, but I don't have to just show you how to do every little thing in your role.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so we touched on a lot of things right now, and I cannot remember what I want to do. But what I will go ahead and do is, while we wait, I will pull up what I was looking for.
Okay.
I'm trying to message you. I'll probably cut this out because it's taking a minute. Let's see. There we go. I think this is one. Oh, there we go. I don't know what's been going on with my OneDrive. But let's see. All right, guys. So check this out. Y'all are in for a treat. We're actually going to go over some resumes that people sent me a while back about technically a resume review. And I think this particular person said they wanted to do something GRC related. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see. What's going on? All right. This thing being stupid, but I'm just going to share us. And can you see this? Okay, perfect. So,
can you zoom in a little bit more?
Yeah. Let me know when I need to stop.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Okay, perfect. So if you were, I'm trying to see if we can look at from this from different lens. We're going to say you're the recruiter right now, right? What would you think about this resume?
Wait, so this person is trying to get a GRC role.
I believe that's what they said. Now, I don't know if they updated since they sent it to me a couple of months ago, but this is what they sent me. And yeah. I literally just changed the name of stuff earlier before we did the call.
I mean, honestly, there's really not much to it. This is non-security related. There are no security certifications. I mean, you can scroll down. I mean, I see, okay, education, management, security, but that's all that they have. Can you scroll down? Are there like any hands-on labs? Are there any projects, anything that's even close to being security related? Okay, so has Security Plus. Scroll down, scroll up just a little bit. I'm trying to take a look at like transferable skills and things like that. No, like scroll up. So it looks like the intern role, business acquisitions, gather information for new projects, create documentation. That's definitely good for a business analyst.
Based. Which role was that? Oh, I see right there.
One, intern, at the bottom. So the internship, yeah, the internship is great for like a business analysis related kind of positions because you are, you're researching information, you're gathering information, you're preparing documentation. It's kind of liaison-ish and it's communication-based, but that was all the way down in 2013. If you scroll up, like scroll all the way up, like back up top.
Is that good enough for all the way up?
Okay, I see. You know, it looks like it was just lagging a little bit, but Postal Service, communication, customer service. I would say that for the customer service reps, you can probably look at like customer
success manager,
customer success manager like positions. But anything like a GRC role, I wouldn't hire her or him for a GRC based job. I mean, there's just really nothing sufficient on a security based level besides having the Security Plus. I would expect to see like a project section that lists out maybe any security-based projects that she's done. The skill set should probably include the frameworks that need to be known within the GRC world of things. And her actual customer service related job can definitely be converted to more of like an analyst kind of thing, just because she has a lot of that lingo. But besides that, I would say business analysis is probably the most that I would call her in for, but nothing like governance, risk, and compliance. That's my thought.
Right. Yeah. So like Well, you had those. I saw some type of formatting issues as well. Like some mm-hmm. things were bigger than others. Some people yeah. are nitpicky on those. Mm-hmm. But also,
I mean, like font and stuff like that, that, you know, that could be changed. Usually, yeah, like, yeah. if I just make everything one singular font, but I'm like looking at more within the content. Because to be honest, let's be real, there are people to which have shitty resumes, but because they have the experience,
correct,
that still look past. So it's just, formatting is cool, but it can be formatted all she wants and she's still not going to get called back because her resume is like non-related to that. So,
right. And yeah. what I saw was that, okay, cool. I saw identity and access measure, AWS. Like I saw mm-hmm. this stuff right here, but based on what you do, we have no knowledge that you know how to use any of those based Fact. On what's on here. And, you know, Fact. Also, this is a weak objective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a generic objective that, you know, Fact. If you're trying to stick out, probably isn't going to help you stick out. You know, you should mm-hmm. make some a little bit more tailor-made based on type of skills you have and the role yeah. that you want to land. That may help you, but you definitely need to add some projects to this.
Mm-hmm. And I would say the objective, I would definitely, like, right now it kind of seems very like near, like I'm trying to transition into a role that will, like, you know, we're not about to be asking or, like, you know, begging out here. Like, I would just make it something like, you know, skilled professional or a skilled professional that is experienced within communication based roles, blah, 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 like things like that. You got to really like state it, like, this right. is who I am, and make that a little bit more aggressive. So, yeah.
But I mean, that's pretty much on theirs. It's not bad, but it's just not geared to what they want to do. Okay.
I mean, and honestly, this is kind of the issue that I see for a lot of people. It's like, I've gotten a security plus. Okay, here's my resume. Convert it. Like, we can't convert your resume to anything because all you got was that certification. Like, I'm not getting that isn't sufficient enough to get a whole resume revamp. So.
Right. Now, I believe this was a young guy. I don't know if he's in school. I think he might be in school or something. Mm-hmm. But besides differences of how I like to look at things, and that's my bias, I did immediately see this project, which looked pretty cool and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to do, I ain't gonna search, but I think what is on his resume is more in line with what he wants to get into.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely is. It's very technical. I probably would separate experience and project, though.
Me too.
It needs to be a completely different, like, section. But collaborated, I would say that, okay, so it ended. I was thinking, like, it was current or something like that.
Oh, he was in government, too, so he should be good. Okay.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering if he has like a clearance or something like that. So that'd definitely be a plus. But I would just say that, I mean, the resume looks fine. I really like it just because the descriptions, the bullet points go into why it is that they did what they did. You know, it wasn't just like a created APIs and Python scripts. You know, right. They're stating, I created API and Python scripts for the purpose of automating this process. And that's what a lot of recruiters want to see. Like, they really want to see like a story, like, situation, because they want to know why it is that you did what you did, like, what was the benefit, basically. So,
like, these are some good, and these are some good, I don't know what class he took at George Mason, but these are some good labs he did there as well. And he had his skills and stuff down here. Overall, I felt this was pretty strong for a
I really think it's just person. A formatting thing. That's really it. But besides that, I mean, the person has a skill set, so really shouldn't have a major problem getting some interviews.
Right. And let me hit X on this and go back into stop sharing. All right. Let's see. I got you looking down now. But yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things I've noticed, too, when it comes to doing resumes, is like people don't. And y'all should listen to this right here. Hey, I don't care what type of job you got. Start mm-hmm. writing down the stuff that you did at work that was an accomplishment or something that helped the team or the company. I don't care what it is. Just write it down, because one of my things is I try to get all the highlights and achievements people did on role or based on their career. And sometimes they don't have them because when they either didn't do them or they don't remember them because they didn't write them down. So I'm like, if you're seeing this now, if you ain't ever wrote nothing down, just go on your lunch break and think about
Document everything. I would say that, honestly, I would say that periodically, you know, every time you learn something new, have an Excel spreadsheet that goes into what you're doing. Maybe every 3 months and what you've gone through that 90 days, reflect and like document everything. And then your next 90 days, document everything. So, you know, quarterly or whatever, you are recapping on everything that you've done, every major project, every skill sets. Look through paperwork, look through project charters, just look through everything and just like extract that information, because then whenever you're ready to make a change and maybe you need to go get your resume professionally reconstructed, or if you just do it on your own, like you can really just have like, okay, these are my files and my accomplishments. And then also if you're trying to get a raise or something at your job, it's nice to already have all that stuff, because you can be like, well, here is Ashley, like here's my file of all the projects I've done, all the accomplishments, and like fact check basically, so that way you can claim that. So documentation is a big thing.
Definitely do that. For the raises, and you know, if you been at the same company for a while, you know, y'all have y'all quarterly and yearly reviews. So also for those reviews as well, because they're gonna try to tell you to like write your goals down and all that good stuff. But that was cool. Hopefully that was helpful to people. I'm not like a super nitpicker like with my things, but prime example, like the second person, right? The reason why I don't always advocate for somebody to get a resume done by me is because, and I just do the review now, is because like some of y'all are probably super close and don't really need me to redo the resume. It might just need some tweaks that I can comment on. Y'all can tweak it.
Yeah.
And I think I posted on my story today where the girl just tweaked the stuff I told her to, and it, you know, she got a call. So
some people don't need full resume revamps. I'm just like, yo, like you can do it yourself. Sometimes all you have to do is just research some of the roles that you are desiring. Go on Google and look at the images, and like they usually look a certain way. Like go with that theme, you know, look at the skill sets of the exact person that has gotten the job that you desire, and try to format your resume the same way, especially if you've already done certain stuff and you see that on the resume. Like you don't have to always book a professional resume revamp. Like I've had a time when I used to do general, like, you know, a la carte resume revamps, to which, you know, the person will just kind of reach back out and they're like, oh, like, you know, I thought you were going to add more. I didn't need to add more. Your resume was already great. All it has to do was reformat. I'm not going to take, you know, add things that you don't need to be added just for the sake of because you booked me. But because you booked me, like, you know, I'm going to do it, but you really like don't need that. So that's all. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to not. But
And I also add like, I forgot what little, when I was doing my book, I went to one of those little resume sites, right? And so I put a template in the book of like just a simple format people could use on their resume. So like I said, y'all need to get the book. That's all I'm gonna say about that. And then we'll tie in like this last part, because I think now resumes and LinkedIn pretty much go hand in hand to me. Except LinkedIn causes you to be a little bit more expressive, whereas even if you don't have a blog, you can technically use LinkedIn as your blog.
And this is a you know, unpopular opinion, but I don't really think people need to pay for LinkedIn reconstructions, to be honest. I don't think, like, I'm just like, yo, like, y'all be paying for LinkedIn reconstructions? Like, I wouldn't even feel comfortable doing that if somebody, like, I would never have it as a separate service. I don't really think that, I would probably have it in one. So it's like, all right, you just kind of, you know, but to do it separately, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's a really, really simple thing to do. It's all about your skills. It's all in the wording. Like once you're able to kind of like get your resume done professionally, or you do it yourself, you can really just kind of replicate that stuff on your LinkedIn and make it visible. So
and that's what I do with the LinkedIn and resume review. It's kind of like I just do the same thing, and I might just touch on some small things that only are a little bit different, just because LinkedIn and resume is slightly different. But for the most part, it's you know, because some people are like, I'm not gonna get started on, like, you know, I get it. People want to make money, but, you know.
Because when I'm doing people's, like, when I'm doing my students' resumes and stuff like that, and while I'm doing their LinkedIn, like, on the call with them, I usually, like, we do this together. Like, they're watching me do it. So that way, for future references, as they get their job and they're, you know, upgrading and getting new skills. They can just do it themselves. I'm like, you don't need to go book somebody else to get your LinkedIn revamp. Just watch how I do it and redo it, basically. So, yeah.
But you know, it's, you know, so many, you know, I think it's probably going to be like the last little funny thing I touch on. Like, I would think if I wanted to be funny, I would have got like the freaking Jeopardy music and ask you a question about being like a scrum master or something. But like, guys, I want you to be wary of people that promise you to get in certain roles that don't have their own website for what they do. And they do not have any testimonials from people that this happened.
Yeah.
And I also want you to really, when you don't see that, go find people that will do those professions and ask them about it. Because I remember one time I did something, a client sent me something that was, I don't know if it was GRC based or whatever. So what I did was said, I'm not super familiar with GRC trainings. So I reached out to a friend that works in GRC and they looked at it. They got back to me next day. It's like, nah, it's a no for me, dog. And, you know, it could be that simple. You know, people dress it up because here's the thing that people is leading with. And it's similar to people that do multi-level marketing and network marketing. Yeah. And yeah, I'm going to go there because they do the same thing. In these pandemics where people, money is low and they upset and they're frustrated and they want to get some more money, they lead without the gate. Hey, you come book with me, I'll get you a job that's going to make six figures. That's what they lead with. They ain't ask them about what's your experience, what's your skills.
You know what's funny, though? What's funny is that I'm starting to see a lot of people that are very like, you know, like the whole debate between like who's really in tech. That's what I've been starting to see lately. Like, or if you work at a tech company, it means you're in tech. And I just, oh my God, I hate that so much because that's honestly causing a lot of why people, you know, like why a lot of people are starting to pop up with the, you know, quick courses and they've only been on the job for like 90 days or maybe like I've seen some is like they're a month on the job and they already have a whole course. I'm just like,
what?
It doesn't make any sense, you know? And for me, it's just like the reason and yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. And like, and then when I'm just like, you know what, let me do some digging, I'll see that their role is actually like in, you know, in sales. And it's not even like technical sales. It's just like, oh, I'm in sales at a tech company, you know? And I'm just like, it's not like, yes, you work in tech and maybe, you know, you're working alongside these people who are a little bit more technical, but like you haven't really been on the job that long to have a whole course and things like, okay. And then another thing that I kind of side-eye are the people who, you know, they'll lead with certain tweets or posts like, hey, I make 200K or I make 300K, but they don't tell you that they make 300K because they have like 3 to 4 jobs. It's like, okay, well, it makes sense. Of course you're going to be making 300K. Like, it's not rocket science. Like, yeah, we're remote. You're picking up these jobs and do your own thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just more so, I would just like more transparency. Like if you're going to say, hey, I make 300K, just say, hey, I make 300K because I'm on 3 different contracts. Right. You know what I mean? Of course, but not that one employer is paying you 300K. So there are just certain ways. So like, yes, they're going to say, of course, well, I do make 300K. Yes, you do. But you are coming off as if, okay, you only got this little bit of training or you barely did, you did the bare minimum and a company is paying you that much in one job. That's what people think when they see these posts. They don't think that, oh, yeah, this person has multiple jobs because a lot of these people aren't in tech and they don't know that that is possible if things are set up in certain ways. So that's just another, just like two of those things that I'm starting to kind of side eye, you know, people not being transparent in the amount of jobs that they have to acquire that amount of money. And also the people who are not in tech or like are actually working technical jobs and things like that and are saying that, hey, like I can get you right. And it's just like, you know, so yeah, that's my thing.
Wait, like this remind me of when people tried to go in on old girl with the TikTok, told them, hey, all these people ain't making six figures. I think they took it as hate, but a lot of us do kind of know like some people be capping and whatever, because if the people watched the whole TikTok, she was like, tell these people like what's your experience like, what you have to do to get it and all the type of stuff. Like, don't just say, oh, this is what I do. And, you know, and the people who understood what she said, they replied. And then the people who just want to, you know, jump, they jumped. So, yeah, man, it's, that's the hardest thing. Like, for me, this is what I've been saying recently. It's like, and it's, I voiced this thing about, like I said, I'm a YouTuber and I voiced this opinion about these new, all these YouTube panel shows. Like, all these people got them some cameras and decided, oh, we're going to have talk shows. Everybody should, have a voice, because a lot of people, I don't like to use it for smart. I'm going to say everybody isn't as educated on what they're saying as you believe they are. Or, and I also say, this is the rise of the fraud. And I say that as, like, for example, guys, if I wanted to, I can go rent an Airbnb. I can go rent a nice car and just come on YouTube, because there's a guy I know that did this. And, you know, I can say I'm a millionaire, you know, and come tap in with me on my Patreon. Meanwhile, what I'm really getting money from is people watching my YouTube videos and my Patreon members, which is fine.
Why won't you tell
people, hey, I make most of my money from YouTube and my Patreon. You know, I totally respect everybody
hustling. Trying to make money a certain way. Like, I see some people who maybe trade or they're getting their funds from other businesses and other things. And it's like, oh, hey, like, I, you know, I can get you into tech or whatever. And I'm just like, but like your money, like your real funds aren't coming from the tech job that you are professing on. So it's just like things like that, that I'm just kind of like, it's okay to be honest. You can say that, hey, my tech job got me this money to invest into this to make me more money. There's nothing wrong with being honest like that. But I feel like it's just like a, you know, it's like skewed perception of things, like, okay, yes, I'm making this amount of money, but like, I'm making this money from other sources of income. So I feel you.
Yeah. And that's just one of the reasons why I decided I'm just going to bow out of being on Twitter all the time. I may get back on it, like, in the middle of the year or something like that, but I've actually been able to get a lot more done that I'm not scrolling or I'm following this thread and all the stuff. And
LinkedIn is the thing. LinkedIn now, too. I really love LinkedIn.
Yeah, I just can just post and just get off LinkedIn, or it'll show me some people that I follow, some good stuff that they said. I can go engage with people that I know. And it's just to the point. I'm honestly it's because I really just be defending y'all, honestly, because I just.
Defending,
yeah, because I be wanting to know where these guys got the gall, you know, to mess with the women. I don't really like it too much.
I don't know. I just feel like I feel like a lot of I think it is a popular opinion. We just don't say it. I think a lot of the mess actually comes from the woman. So, and I'm a woman. So, you know, let's be real. I don't really get a lot of backlash or things like that from other men. I get it from other women. So,
I've seen some do it. I've seen some, you know, gatekeeping type of men on it.
I think I see more of the men gatekeeping. Like, I see more of them gatekeeping. Like, let's be real. Most of them are gatekeeping. But I think that when it comes to, like, the more of the cattiness, which I guess makes sense, it comes from the woman in a sense of, like,
that's facts.
You know, slander. So, but I think a lot of the gatekeeping, yes, does come from women. So, honestly, both like, genders have their issues. So, yeah.
Stop it. Watching this, just get some help.
For real, like, I think it's enough money for all y'all out here. Young guy, throw dirt on each other's names. Just get y'all bread in silence. You know, it could be two guys that hate each other on a TL, but most of the time they're going to be in their own separate environments and doing what they got to do.
Facts.
And that's pretty much what y'all should learn from. I mean, because at the end of the day, what I did find out when all these, and another reason I got Twitter, because I got tired of Twitter spaces, but even though I may be on one.
Oh my God.
I may be on one Friday, but it's not the typical spaces. It's somebody that I was referred me to them to actually talk about something specific. So it's not the typical spaces you'll see on your timeline. But I got off of that because it's, always the spaces I'm in. Even some people I didn't follow, let me know about they in some space that I could care less about. I'm like, fam, bring the fleets back. I don't care nothing about the freaking spaces. Like, if that's the case, go ahead and make them virtual spaces, because I don't know. Like, they're cool, but they get to be, I don't know. I think they got a little bit saturated. Like, they were doing like every day. I get it. And
spaces? Oh, yeah. I'm just like.
And I know why they're doing it.
To the point where I actually muted a few things and people from that, just because I'm like, this is like a lot for me to see every time. It was getting overwhelming for me to the point where I was just like, yo, this is draining. At some point I was doing the Twitter spaces, but then I felt like, you know, there's just a time to kind of step back a little bit for me personally. If it's part of somebody's brand, you know, like that's different, but I'm just like, it's a lot. And I feel like anytime I go into them, it's literally saying the same thing. And I'm just like, okay, y'all, like a lot of y'all are in here and have been in here for a while. Like, when do you have the time to really go learn and really like get the job that you're trying to desire if you are in these Twitter spaces every right. single day? You know, like, how do you have the time? You know, and I always tell people, when you're actually in tech, you don't have a desire to talk tech every single day. You really don't, because we actually have real jobs. We're actually, you know, like it can be really draining. And I think that it's romanticized a lot via these spaces, but like most of the people who are actually working really don't have time to be on these spaces all the time. And I'm not saying that when you're in tech, like you're gonna be working 40 hours a week, to which you just don't have time. I just mean that when you are actually in it, like every day, especially like even if you're non-technical, like you just really don't have like the time and the interest to always talk about it every single time. Like even I don't, and my whole business is tech related. And I don't, if you've noticed, or just people in general, I don't really tweet about it that much anymore. I tweet, you know, I have the regular content that I push from my business page, but like, I don't really tweet stuff from my personal page anymore. I may do it a few times a week, but I'm just like, I want my life back. You know, like I do this every day, every second. Like, I'm just like, okay. So that's kind of like how you can decipher who's new and who isn't. Because it's like, yo, we don't really have time to be on here all the time. Yeah. So. Yeah.
That, and I mean, honestly, a lot of people mostly do it to get, you know, for the algorithm and get their followers up, which I respect. Mm-hmm. You know, but, and the last thing I touch on Twitter is, you know, just because people have a big following don't mean they know what they're talking about. Facts. I mean, I just keep it as simple as that. You know, salute to all the people that are new and grinding and, you know, pretty much trying to make your brand. But just remember that, you know, you had made it there yet. And just tell people that, like, you know, don't be like, you know, act like you're an expert. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
Don't be right. Also, don't do consultations and stuff like you're an expert in your field. Kind of get some experience first. Get the certifications that you tell people to get.
I don't really know why people are trying. I don't get it. Like, why is it a thing now to, I guess, have like a tech? I don't know. I guess it's none of my business, but I don't really get why. You know what I mean? Like,
well, because if it's becoming very saturated, that means people are seeing it as a cash grab, which it can be. But, you know, you got to decide what you really want to try to do with it. For me, I didn't really look at it as a cash grab. I could make some money in it, but I'm, you know, in order for it to really be a cash grab, I couldn't work, because then I really would have to do more to justify why I want to charge, like what I want to charge.
Yep.
But that was pretty much the podcast, guys. I don't know if I wish I would have got some questions written that you guys probably want to ask her. You want to know more about her? She also has some interviews out. And what is it? Black Entrepreneur and Afrotech?
Yes. And possibly Business Insider. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, like you said, you guys going to see, I'm speaking into existence. You're going to see this video sponsored by my tech best friend. And y'all going to see like different boot camp things and everything on there, you know, so you guys go get the boot camps. Because I do have, you know, people that do come to me for different things, and I'm like, hey, well, I'll see if she got a boot camp open for it. Because I mean, I can show you one way, but if you want to get experience, you know, go get that boot camp experience. Your socials are in the description, but if you want to tell people where they can follow my tech best friend at, just let me know. No, I was asking you want to let me know. I got a description, but some people listen to the podcast, so that's why. Cool, man. Y'all know where to find me. If y'all want to do book consultation with Mary, it'll be on My Tech Best Friend. She charges $1,000 for an hour. So, you know, save your pennies and you can have a consultation with her. But it's been another episode of Textual Talk, man. Appreciate all y'all. Everything y'all do for rocking with me strong. And let's stay textual. I'm out.